Yeah, I can be informal with you. I appreciate it.
Why everyone knew they were, and everyone was clapping. Why everyone knew they were saying it's just true, because what came up happened. Her husband had been married to a man for 42 years. He was an unbeliever, but she prayed for him every day for 42 years to come to Christ. And he was on a business trip to Florida when he was killed in a car accident. About a month after he was killed, her phone rang, and the man on the phone said, "Is this so-and-so there?" And asked for her husband. She said, "No, I'm sorry. He passed away. He passed away in a car accident a month ago in Florida." The man got kind of quiet and said, "Did you say he died about a month ago in a car accident in Florida?" And she said, "Yes." The man said, "Was it on this day?" And he said, "The date." And she said, "Yes." He said, "Did you get to talk to him that day?" She said, "No, I did not. He would always call me at night when he got to the hotel room, and of course he couldn't do that." He said, "Ma'am, I have good news for you. I'm a businessman, and I was there for work. I worked downtown in an office building, and God would not leave me alone that morning. God spoke to me to go up to the highway and park my car and put my thumb out. And your husband came by. I shared Christ with your husband, and he accepted Christ and had a relationship with him before he was killed in a car accident." And Robert Morris verifies that story, and he's legit, the real deal. I read that, and I said, I have to share it here, because obviously, you know, a lot of you guys are here without spouses who know the Lord, and remember that one message a while ago, ask, seek, and you will find, and it's not just a one-time thing, it's consistent. And I remember sharing the story, you know, Chris Valentin had that one day. He was out working in the woods, and he was chopping a block of wood, and it wasn't splitting, and he asked his friend, he said, "You know, well, how long do I have to chop on this?" And he said, "You chop it till it breaks." He said, "Well, should I hit it in a different spot?" He said, "No, you just keep on in the same spot." And there's a persistency to our prayer, and some encouragement and persistency to our pressing in and speaking the word of the Lord over situations in our lives. Stories like this speak volumes, in my opinion, in my estimation. Amen? So just encourage you. I felt to read it. Just like the wood, just keep hitting it, and how long do I hit it until it breaks? Amen? Amen. So I wanted to share that. I had that last week and never got around to sharing it. Quick review of last week. James, you've turned the air on. You have to turn both sides to one because it wouldn't help him with that. And I was speaking about our walk last week and character and issues of character and things like that. And just a reminder, I want to just say something that to me stood out from when I got it was with Joseph. And if you look at Joseph in Psalm, it says, "Until the word of the Lord came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him." And you look, Joseph was held in prison all these years. And in that time, there was character and a stability and a foundation that was formed in him that could be formed no other way. And the end of his life, and I remember we talked about how his brothers could come. And if the Lord had not imparted, you know, the character of Christ within him, the tendency there, and it would be easy to do, "Hey, you guys threw me in the pit. It's like the movie. Now it's my chance to knock you off." And what did he do? He showed love. And we say that he was second in command in Egypt, but he was saved for 70 people, right? And you never know what happens in your life, and it could be for just a few, but that 70 affected the course of history, right? Amen? And so the Lord, your character is formed and built, and that's part of our walk. And so we receive and we get, but we're also walking in what we have as well. I want to share this one. Go and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 16. Sometimes when I go through a book in the Bible, and I try not to skip stuff, you know, this message, I think there's some good stuff in it, but it's not maybe not necessarily one I would pick and choose if I was going somewhere to speak to speak on. But I think it's good, and one thing I've learned before I step in is to assume nothing. And I'm aware, you know, some, there's people in here who are, you know, competent and you handle the scriptures well. And there's folks who maybe you've never even read the book of Ephesians and don't know anything about it. And so when I'm up here, I have to keep that in mind. And so some of you, some things if I share, if you heard it before, maybe you're just going to hear it in a different way, in a different context. And some of you, this might be brand spanking new, and that's both. One thing I want to encourage you to do, I've been on Ephesians for a long time. I can't get out of it. I'm assuming nothing. If you've never read the book of Ephesians, read the book of Ephesians. Read it. Meditate on it. And study the Word of God. So this passage says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Thank you, Bill. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And I love this verse. "Until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, that may grow up in all things, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So there's a ton in here, and there could be tons of messages in here, and there could be Bible studies in here. And I was sitting there thinking, some of this maybe we have to do after our classes are done. This could be something that's in my mind for something else. But we just spoke about, or after this passage above, it speaks unity and says there's one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. So there's unity, right? In the Lord. But it says there's diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And here in this pattern, I'm going to kind of go through this a little bit, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Gift and graces go together. And actually, if you look at the word gift, it's charismata. The word grace is charisma. It's the root. It's same in there. I gave the example of grace, so just kind of recap on that. Judgment is if James steals my hamburger and the penalty is going to jail. Judgment, James takes my burger, you go to jail. It's judgment. Mercy says, James stole my burger. You deserve to go to jail, but I'm not going to send you to jail. Just don't do it again. Grace is, James stole my hamburger. You're not going to go to jail, but I'm going to go and buy you a Big Mac on top of that. Or take him to Five Guys and add some fries to it. I love Five Guys. I was craving Five Guys this week. But that's grace. The Lord gives grace. He gives us what we don't deserve, right? So he withholds mercy and judgment, but then he gives gifts. If you have a gifting, and that's why, you know, believers, when we're gifted, should actually be humble. And gift says nothing about you. It says everything about the guy who gives you the gift. And so if I'm giving him a Five Guys meal after he stole my burger, it doesn't say how great he is. It says, wow, hey, Clay gave him a Five Guys, right? So the gift is about the giver. It's about the Lord. He's the great one, right? And gifts and giving, or gifts and grace, I say gifts are the grace gifts. If I operate movement and gift, it's a grace that comes upon me in a moment. Okay? A couple passages real quick. You don't have to turn there. Romans 12:6, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us." And then it goes on to prophecy to prophesy. But there's a passage real quick in 1 Peter 4:10, and it says, "As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Okay? So if I'm given a gift, I have a stewardship over something that the Lord's entrusted to me. Right? If giving him the mill or something that God gives me, I have a stewardship over that. And Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "Stir up the gift of God that is within you." I had a teacher in Bible school, and he was saying, if there's a gift God's given you, no matter what it may be, and you just put it on the shelf and you never exercise it, never operate in it, never get to use it, your gift's not going to go away, but it's going to collect dust and mold and rot for a while, and the Lord might say, you know, you're not using it, so I need it. I'm going to use this person because God cooperates with man. And so what's God given you? It's a stewardship that He's given you. Okay? If I'm walking, I sit, I receive. If I'm walking, I have a stewardship to operate and use what the grace gift that He's given me, right? I have a responsibility for others to give. And something else cool, then I'm going to shift to something else. It says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. If you have cross references in the scripture, so sometimes Paul will take something and quote it, and the wording's a little different from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And pay attention to that. In Psalm 68:18, he quotes this. He says, Psalm 68:18 says, "You have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, and you have received gifts from men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there." What's the difference in Psalms and Ephesians? In Psalms, and what that was referring to in those times, when the king would go in and conquer, he would have the prisoners behind him, and he would receive gifts as he went in and conquered the land. Our king is conquered, right? He's won the victory. But it's not just he's receiving, he's giving. So in the Old Covenant, he received. In the New Covenant, he ascended on high, and he didn't receive, but he gave gifts to men, right? Do you see that? I thought it was good anyways. There's something else that is necessarily way. But God in the New Covenant, as the Lord, he gives gifts to men, amen? So we're given something. We're given a stewardship, right? Amen? That's part of our walking. I'm going to do something here, and I'm going to kind of go through quickly some things, and this is what I was saying. I look at this, and part of me, I guess the teacher in me, feels like I'm shortchanging. But I'm also, again, I'm aware that maybe some of this is new for some of you, and you're hearing it from a different way. But there's a lot of certain gifts that are mentioned in the Bible, okay? And gifts are not the thing. Gifts, just like the offices of the fivefold ministers when we speak about, are unfilled, the maturity and the fullness. So I emphasize maturity more. But I will say the gifts are something that the Lord uses for the edification of the body of Christ. In Romans, just so you can have it, and if you're not familiar with this, please write it down. Some of you are. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Certain gifts in there. It's prophesying, ministry, or serving, teaching, encouraging, or exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. And Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11, which we're all familiar with. You have the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, message in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, I'm just going to add two that aren't in the other ones. It's helps and administrations. And I want to say a few things. I'm not going to go through all of these. And again, this could be a class, I think, when you kind of go through all these. I'm going to briefly skim over some that the Holy Spirit highlighted to me. Let me just say one of those is prophecy. And now, prophecy, we can't make it complicated. It's simple terms, it's speaking and clearing forth the word of God in a situation. And the gift is different from the office. And I'm not sure how much I'm going to get into that. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, he desires that we all prophesy. Just to show it's not complicated, if you go in Ephesians, remember when they met those guys, those boys from Ephesus, and they said, "You've been baptized in the Spirit." So we don't know. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Said they immediately started prophesying. Okay, you don't have to fast and pray for 21 days to prophesy and declare the word of the Lord to someone. But there's a few things I think the Holy Spirit's kind of alerted me to. And maybe I should share, and again, I'm giving you part of something, okay? But I think it's important nonetheless. We had a class, a prophetic class that these guys taught. And if you didn't go, it's a good thing. I wish we'd recorded that. Let me just say a few things. I'm giving you in part of something. It says in 1 Corinthians, you can write this down if you're not familiar with it, chapter 14, verse 3. It says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." Okay? We're speaking of the gift of prophecy, not the office of the prophet. If you prophesy, you speak edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Okay? Paul again says that you all may prophesy. Let me say this. If you have, and there's also something else too, prophecy should be judged, right? And if the Lord gives you something, you know, I've gotten words from people before, quite often, and you know, sometimes it's really a witness to it. Sometimes there's no witness to it at all, and I say thank you and I move on politely. You don't have to hang on to everything someone gives you, okay? If someone gives you a word, first of all, that things should be judged, okay? Let the prophets prophet and others judge. The things should be judged. And maybe it's something that you put on the shelf. But one thing I want to say, you judge and you govern, discern the hearts, because sometimes when people prophesy and they give you something, it's not out of the Spirit of God. Sometimes it's out of them. There's a good verse that I found in Jeremiah. I think it's 23:16. Let me read this to you. Again, I want to say something, and this is for some folks in here, I believe. Just because someone says, I have a prophetic word for you, maybe it's the Lord, but it does not mean you have to, oh, they spoke that to me, it must be true. It should be governed and weighed. If you have questions, ask someone. Ask a brother or sister in Christ. Ask someone in a leadership position and weigh it. But it says in 23:16, the Lord of hosts says, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. I'm not saying all prophecies, you don't do away with prophecy. I love prophecy. I love the atmosphere of prophetic. But I want to, as maybe it's just my pastoral nature right now, is to protect, judge and discern the intentions and the motives and weigh the word. You know, I've gotten words before, even from someone, and I didn't really... guy gave me a word one time, and it was Rick Vargas who was here a few months ago. And to me, he's a real deal guy. And he gave it to me. I was like, oh, you missed it. And I thought he missed it. And 3 days later, it started happening. And sometimes you get something, you can put it on the shelf, and you allow the Lord to bring it to pass if it happens. But one thing, one way to kind of weigh and judge something, back to Corinthians, does it edify, does it exhort, does it speak comfort to those? Okay? And I was listening, it was John Paul Jackson, actually. I was listening to him, and he was speaking, and he was giving an example. He said, you know, if I went into a meeting somewhere, and, you know, the Lord gave me something about someone and said, you know, you were in, prostitution, you did this, you had an abortion, this, that, you did that, and started just nailing all the things in their past, or speaking something that actually brings shame to the person, that's not the Lord. Sometimes even when the Lord gives you something, you don't have to share that. He said, now that would be tempting for me, he said, because if I did that, everyone would say, oh, he hears clearly from the Lord, but what about that person there that's having shame brought on them? He said, instead I would go and say, you know, the Lord's brought you through a lot of different things, and, you know, he's going to continue. And it's how you speak. Are you doing it in love, right? Again, I always say to people, you're never out of order to love. And I was in a meeting one time, and this happened to me. There was a guy, I won't give you his name because he's still, I wouldn't bring him here if you paid me a lot of money. And I mean that. I would not bring the guy here ever. But he came in, and it was a mistake. The Bible school, and but he started, and he was wrong. He started calling people up and just embarrassing them. And they cut the meetings in half. They stopped doing that. That was not the Lord. He was wrong for one, but even if he was right with some folks, it put the emphasis of humiliation and shame upon the person. Is the Lord in that? If I'm somewhere, and if I come up to someone, or if you're somewhere and someone did, and it starts putting shame and you know, condemnation and things on someone, you weigh that and see if it's the Lord or not. You can say, no, that's not the Lord. I don't receive that. If anything, I don't receive the heart where it's coming from. Amen? I want to share that. I felt strongly. There's so much more, and even there's some prophecy I don't think that lets you touch unless you're the office of the prophet. you know, when you're speaking, you know, direction and things along those lines. But just, this could be expanded a lot, and maybe it's just my pastoral heart. Just because someone gives you a word, and if there's ever a question about that, come to a brother and sister in Christ who's seasoned in the Lord. You know, go ask them, what do you think about this? You know, ask me and weigh the thing. Amen? And that also goes for when you're giving words. I want you to do that, but watch the spirit that you're operating out of. Amen? There's other things, too. A lot could go, and it should point to Jesus, right? Testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. I'm going to briefly go through some of these. There's also ministry. Let me say this too. Ministry in the Latin, ministry means lesser servant. I want to go into ministry. I was reading a story about this lady one time, and she just got ordination, and she found herself as a home health aide cleaning a lady's toilet. And she was telling the Lord, "Lord, you called me to ministry. I shouldn't be doing this." And the Lord said, "Well, you did want to minister, didn't you?" Ministry, you're never out of order to serve. And I remember there was a meeting I had. I remember clear as day. I was in college, and I went home. We had this guy come for our men's breakfast. And he spoke. It was a great message. Anyways, the greatest among thee shall be the servant of all. And that's all else. And God wants to make your name great. But he spoke the message on that. He went for about an hour. And we had a men's breakfast, and it was really, really good. And he said, "Now, if you heard that word, and you want the Lord to do something great in your life, get back there and clean those dishes." And I'd say everyone except for one guy, I remember, went back there and cleaned the dishes. And I tell you what, that was over 10 years ago, and I still remember it. It was embedded in my heart. Serve. You're never out of order. If you want, I want to be in the ministry, then you serve. That's part of walking, right? You're never out of order to serve somebody, okay? A few more things. Teaching, the gift of teaching. You know, Kevin, brother, that was excellent this morning. I mean, I see that all over you. Exhortation, giving, leadership. Let me just say, in exhortation, my father, when my dad comes back, you know, I remember in church one time and someone said, "Your dad just has a gift. He just encourages people." If you're feeling lousy or need something and my dad comes back, just spend about 10 minutes with my dad. And you'll feel good. That's, my dad just kind of has that thing about him. We also have the word of wisdom. I'm going to speed through these. I'm going to get something. We're going to have a class on these. Okay? I don't want to take my time doing this. A word of wisdom. The Lord's given me a supernatural revelation. Same goes with the word of knowledge. Faith. If you want to hear about faith, you missed a class. I'll make you wish you were there. I'll tell you an example. And it kind of goes with the class. One time with a gift of faith. I remember one time for me when I was... my sister, I don't know if I've told you this story, my sister Elizabeth, she was pregnant with triplets and she lost one. And she was on bed rest and she gave birth to twins at, I think it was 25 weeks. So you could honestly, not exaggerating, hold them in your hand. And they were in the hospital for months down in Chapel Hill. And I remember one night, I wasn't doing anything spiritual at all. I was in college and I was home. And I was watching TV, and we got a call. You know, one, I think it was Claire. If Claire doesn't urinate in the next few hours, she's going to be dead. And I'm freaking out, everyone. And something came on to me, and it went, like you're teaching, from my head to my heart. And I knew it was in my knower. The girl's going to urinate. I told them, I was like, if she's going to urinate, it's fine. Watching the TV. She had like 2 hours. They had a chaplain come in and start saying bereavement stuff. And then we got a call. Hey, she urinated. And I actually, like, I wasn't surprised. I was like, yes, I know. That's an example of that. It was just something in my knower that just kind of was there. I just knew that I knew that I knew, which is pretty cool. There's faith with healing, and we've spoken on that. Miracles, discerning of spirits. There's a message in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Take a lot of time, but let me get into this real quick. There's giftings. God gives giftings. It says severally, individually as he will. Another phrase that is severally as he will. I mean, it's several. I think it's at least three. I believe that if you have the Spirit of God within you, this could be very natural to move in these. Okay? It can be natural for the Spirit of God just to flow from you. And, you know, there's an element, too, where I operate out of the gift rather than the anointing. In other words, I don't have to feel a certain way or be in a meeting and have a all of a sudden, wow, the Spirit of God's on me. But I know I can be just doing nothing. I told you the story about the one guy who was playing video games, and the Lord just came upon him and gave him this powerful vision and revelation he was speaking about years later. And so you operate out of the Spirit of God, the anointing abides, right? And the Spirit of God's within you. You have more of you than you realize, and you can function and flow if you're aware of that. But there's also the fivefold ministry. I hope this is not getting dry. It's just I have to teach on what's here. Fivefold ministry are offices. Okay? It's different from a gifting, and so it's an office. It's, you know, the apostle. Jesus was the, Hebrews says he's the chief apostle. An apostle is a sent one. A lot of times they deal with foundations. Apostolic, they're sent places. A lot of times established, and there's just a lot you can say. Jesus was the chief apostle. He invested himself in the apostolic ministry. There's a prophet. Like I said, that's not just a gift. That's the office of a prophet. You can speak direction and judgment and things. Jesus was the prophet. The testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. The evangelist has the longest reach. They go out and they speak good news, right? And Jesus was good news. The pastor, you say the pastor is married to the church, your ring finger. Jesus was the great shepherd, chief shepherd, and the teacher. Small enough to get inside of your ear. You've heard this analogy before. And Jesus was the teacher. And so the Lord invests himself into offices. And one thing I'll say to you with this, and I'm not, it's important, and again, I'm all over the place in the scriptures, that we don't form a sense of hierarchy. And when I say that, you know, in Revelations it says that you don't, I thank that you did not succumb to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Nico means dominate, Lations means laity. And one thing that's important that you're never, offices that God's given, part of this scripture here, I could teach on it more, I'm not going to, are until the maturing of the saints. Your head is Jesus, right? Your head is not a pastor or a leader. Your head is Jesus. At the same time, I always honor leadership because I honor the office that God has ordained and established. I'm a pastor, but I have pastors that I submit myself to, and I do it willingly because you always need that in your life, someone to speak into your life. Amen? You always have to have that. If I have no accountability, if I have no one I'm receiving from in a fivefold, in an office position over me, then you should come to me about that. Amen? And you always receive from everyone. Like I said, I receive from the Legion and Kevin's class. I have pages of notes. Always be open to receive from people. Amen? Because everyone has something to give that's unique. But we all have that. The purpose of the fivefold ministry, I'm going to say this, I'm going to end with something. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we no longer be children. What is my job as a pastor? My job as a pastor is to see people equipped and edified to do the works of the ministry, so I work myself out of a job. Amen? Have you ever heard that or not? I don't know. Again, I assume nothing. My job is to see people. You know, we see this now. I have such great illustrations with my kids. Evan right now, he can't feed himself. We're starting to do, I did a little airplane, like this, to put the food in his mouth, right? He's a baby. He can't feed himself. As they get older, Anna, my wife made spaghetti last night. She can feed herself, but guess what? I had to cut up that spaghetti in little pieces so she wouldn't choke on it. Right? She's 3. So she's feeding herself, but she still needs... Owen still relies on us to buy his food, but I don't have to worry about him. And the goal is, you know, when they're 30 years old, I don't want to be cutting up his food. I don't want to be doing their little rocket ship thing and pretending like I'm going in his mouth. And I don't want to have to be buying all of his food. When I go visit my mom buys my food and I love it and she cooks and they do stuff, but that shouldn't be an everyday thing. As in the natural, so in the spiritual, God come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual, far to the Corinthians.
Amen.
In the spirit, it should be the same. And that doesn't mean you don't. I receive from people all the time. I mean, I'm not trying to flatter you. I received it this morning. Honestly, I'm always willing to receive. Throughout the week, I'm receiving from. I have YouTube. I'll listen to this preaching. I'm receiving. You always receive. But my job is to see that you can feed yourself, right? Can you feed yourself? Can you go in this word and say, okay, I'm going to read Ephesians. Never read Ephesians before. I'm going to read the book of Ephesians. Who wrote it? I was like, who wrote it? I always look at the context. When was it written? How was it written? And go in and say, Lord, you know, I want to be fed. And then maybe after the sermon, I'll come and tell Clay, hey, you should have said this too. I'll say, oh, it was in my notes. I should have said it. Feed yourself. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of times, even in ministries, they want to keep people so I don't have to. I want you to feed yourself and to grow. I want you to receive from each other. There is an element where God puts an office in, and there is an element where I have where we give something that's to be received and things like that. But you feed yourself. And then, what happens to us about the gifts? It's for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all may be edified, right? So ultimately, it's a stewardship. It's a walk. It's not just for you. After a while, you start ministering to others, right? And I learned to feed. So Owen, hopefully, like I said, when he's 30, he's feeding himself. But if he has young ones of his own, he's going to start feeding them. You see that? There's a maturity and something that there's a growth that comes. And I move beyond having to cut it up and having to spoon feed to, hey, I can feed myself. I can eat for myself. And hey, guess what? Some of these gifts that we're going to speak more on another time, you know, the Lord's given me this, and it's not just for me to say, man, I've got this great gift. It's for, you know, I can bless Sandra today with this gift. The Lord's given me something. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's the purpose of the fivefold ministry. There's more I could say about that too. But that's the purpose of the fivefold ministry. You know, even things, I'll say this. I went to see Jenny this week. You know, she's home. And I love, but one of the best things I like is the fact that, hey, they got a card from the ladies, and it spoke to them. What is that? You giving something to someone else of substance that you have, right? So it's not just me giving to them. It's the body of Christ giving to them, right? And then when we're in need, give to us, right? All of us need to receive. That doesn't stop right now. But we also have something to give too. That's the body of Christ. That's what the fivefold ministry is for. Again, a lot more could be said, but that's the basic gist of it. Fivefold ministry is not to spoon feed. Fivefold ministry is to see you feeding yourself and then feeding others. Okay? In my whole heart, I mean, part of what classes we have is to equip you to do the works of the ministry. Worship, we do it in such a way as to equip you to enter in and press in. Amen? And you can receive from pushing. So let me finish with the last verse. Going on longer than I wanted to. Verse 16 says, from the whole body, joined and knit together, it's also fitted together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Everything I've just said. But knit, it also means fitted. Do you know, a lot of times we can... You go to a church and I fit there. It's not enough just to fit, right? I fit. Join and knit together, fit together. But it says, by what every joint supplies. And so I read something, it was a commentary. And I didn't know this. I was always gagged out by medical stuff. I can't watch surgeries. So if it's medical, I just pretend like it's a robot and I don't do it. But one thing that I was reading is that Paul apparently really understood the human body. because he understood that each part of our body supplies a certain thing. And in the commentary I read, it says, the human body increases till it arrives at maturity by the energy of every part in performing its proper function in our human bodies, and by the sympathy of every part within the whole, all of us together doing our parts. The Church of Christ grows to maturity by the proper exercise of the gifts and graces of individuals for the benefit of the whole.
Amen.
So, another thing, if I'm going to grow, I have to be nourished and I have to feed myself, right? I'll give this example. Believe it or not, one day, at one point in time, I had more weight on me. And I would eat and I would exercise and lift weights. Now, if all I did was just eat, I gain weight I don't want. But when I eat and I exercise, it caused a proper growth. For my kids, we give them exercise time. If all I do is eat and I never exercise, that's not good. And if all I do is exercise and I never eat, I'm going to be running on fumes really fast, right? Have you ever tried to work out on an empty stomach and then go home and not eat? It's horrible. Can't do it for long anyways. Eating, receiving, but also exercise. So in a local church thing, we talk about the ecclesia with the church. There's the church universal and the church local, right? And we spoke about that all the different times in Scripture. There's a universal church, but there's also a church local. If I want to see a universal church, the kingdom of God expand, or in a local church, what does that mean I have to do? It means I have to receive, but I also have to exercise, and what do we talk about now? I have to walk, right? What has God equipped me uniquely with? So my dad, with encouraging, can be something. Helps in administration. I was saying to Jim this morning, I'm lousy. If you give me something to do, I don't be offended because I might lose it or forget it. And it's not because I'm trying to do it. I just don't operate that way. But my wife does. So I say, go talk to her because it's an administrative gift. If she withheld that administrative gift, or if Liz withholds her gift of administration, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that will completely fall apart. Why? Because that gift is not operating and functioning for the maturity of the whole body, right? Helps is the same thing. Service, prayer, everything. If I have something to give, and I've spoken before on the parable of the mina, and I spoke about it before, when Jesus said, occupy until I come. Occupy until I come means you do business until I come. You exchange. You go and you trade. What does the Lord have uniquely for you? So within each and every one of us, we've been given the parable, like the parable of mine, we've been given something from God. What you do with that is completely up to you. There's always place for service. There's always place for this in the body of Christ at large and in you. And let me say this too. I was reading, my wife had a book she bought or she got from the library, and I was reading some of it last night and on a sermon illustration. There was a lady, and she was really kind of upset because, she was in a job she hated, and she didn't know her friends were all doing these great things in the kingdom of God, and what am I doing, and yada, yada. But she went aside to the Lord and met him in a way. But the Lord told her, he said, there's work in the kingdom for everyone, right? The tendency is to say, okay, James, you're doing it today, so I don't have to do it, and, you're better than me at it, so I'm just going to let you do it. What did Paul tell Timothy? Stir up the gift that's in you. Gifts with proper use become ministries. Right? The ministry is the outflowing of the indwelling Christ. If I have a certain aptitude in gifting, and one thing is pick on Kevin Day today. So Kevin, I was telling Kevin, one thing I honor and I recognize a gift in him, and I said, one thing I don't want to happen is for you, the only time you get to minister the word is in the prison. But you need to be doing it here. You have something to give. Two things there. It's a gift he has, a teaching gift, to give He adds his part to the whole, and so we're edified and grown up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if that gift gets put on the shelf and just sits, and there's no use to it, if you have a gift or something, hey, I can help, by all means, come. I'm more than welcome. But it's for you. Stir up the gift that God's put within you. Amen. One of the things that the Assemblies of God that they have, I'm wrapping up, I've gone on too long, they have is that if you're in ministry or any capacity, they want you to preach a certain amount of times a year. And I believe one reason for that is this. Whether you have a gift of teaching, whether it's serving, whether it's prophecy, whatever it is, it can be a super spiritual thing or just a very practical thing. Put it to use, or God can find someone else to do it. And maybe you're the one that God's chosen for it, and you say, I'm not going to do it, and we can find a million and one excuses as to why I can't do it, why I can't do it. But sometimes God chooses you with all your imperfections, with all your faults, with all your inadequacies. God called me here, and I have plenty of inadequacies, right? But I said yes to God. Are you saying yes to God in the areas and in the places that He's called you and He's equipped you? And if you said, Lord, I don't know where I fit, and this is not just locally, this is out here too, it's the church at large. Where do you fit? If God's given graces and gifts to each and every one of us, and my job is to see you do that and function and start ministering and blessing everyone else, what is it that you have to give? And then we have the prayer of mine is, do business until I come, or you'll find someone else doing it in your place, right? Amen?
Amen.
Simple word this morning, but there's truth in it. Amen?
Amen?
There's truth in it. My job is not just to treat you like Evan and Anna. My job is to see you raised up, doing the works of the kingdom, and I can say, okay, you do it. That's when I've done my job. As the body of Christ matures.
Amen.
And then this is a powerful force to be reckoned with. I don't care how many people. There's powerful ways to go out. Things here are equipping. Amen. When we pray, let me say one more thing. One reason I do stuff, even like in prayer, I have other people pray. And I have other people, you know, of course, if you have anything from the Lord, I do that as a means to equip. You can hear the Lord for yourself. This is a good place to train and learn ministry, right? The best training ground for ministry, I believe, is in the local church. Are you hearing from the Lord? Are you offering? Are you stepping out? What are you doing? And the ladies' meeting, and the men's meeting, everything. And Jim has other guys teach. I said, yes, that's great. That's what I want. Others doing it. Amen? Because all of us do the work of the ministry. Amen? I've said enough. Lord, we honor you this morning. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your word, God. There's so much in your word that speaks to us, Lord. And Lord, you speak to us new things and new ways all the time, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers, God. Lord, that we are growing and maturing, God. And Lord, that we are a mighty force to be reckoned with in this area and this region. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in hearts and lives. God, for what you're going to do in the days ahead. And we just thank you and we honor you and we love you and we bless you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Don't forget soup Sunday next week and come prepared to eat. Amen. God bless you.